I will get you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 as we look at this idea, this thought, this concept in Scripture about where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And what a very important thought this is, what a very important subject. I remember when I started the church back in June, there was two concepts, two thoughts that kept, that was on my mind consistently. And the first one was the aspect of lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, of course, has been kind of my ministry theme since the first time I pastored. That was our theme in Kenora, lifting up Christ in Kenora. That was the theme for, we used to have tent meetings every year in Kenora, and we would have a lifting up Christ tent meeting. And it would always revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's very close to me. I believe that if we can lift up Christ, he will draw all men unto himself. And we don't need to lift me up, don't need to lift you up, but we definitely need to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The other thought that was on my mind during that time was the aspect of vision. I don't know if you were at some of the first services we had in the Sunday evenings, I'd be preaching a little bit on vision. And because that's exactly what I was thinking about in regards to Airdrie Baptist Church, looking towards the future and trying to formulate my mind and heart what God would wants me to see. Amen. It's so important that we do that. It's so important that we don't get focused just in front of our feet, but we look towards the future because it needs preparation, and preparation starts today. Amen. And so vision has always been a part of that. And so I thought it's kind of neat with the year being 2020 and how that the word vision with that just really goes hand in hand. We have 2020 vision. When I began to look at that, I understand some of you that are very articulate and technical will say 2020 vision isn't perfect vision. And I understand that. But yet it still plays well on words. Amen. And so we'll maybe look at some of those medical things in regards to vision at some other time. But it's interesting when you do see how God created us and how even our eyes work, our bodies work, and how that really ties in. God is revealing things to us through our creation. Amen. And so it's very interesting. Vision is just simply means sight. It just means what you see. And today, if you were to ask people about vision, you would get so many different ideas in regards to what a vision really is. This last week, every now and then I like scrolling through articles and I like reading articles online and where people are at, where Christianity is at. There was this one article that I read, I forget where it was, I think it was on a Facebook thing, and I read the article, and the article was talking about how that churches and the size, some of these mega churches, the reason why they are that way is because really the preachers are not preaching the Word of God the way they ought to. When you begin to preach the Word of God, it is like a sword. And, you know, I'd love to be able to keep every person that comes into the church, and I want them to be here. But I just know as you preach the Bible, as you bring these things out, you can just see a sword coming down and dividing because there's certain doctrines they're just not willing to challenge in their life. And I understand sometimes that ends up in people leaving. And so that's why churches sometimes don't grow as big as some of these mega churches. But one guy responded, and sometimes I read through the comments, and so that's a dangerous thing for me. But in this particular instance, one guy responded by saying that, well, Jesus had huge crowds, and he did miracles, and he drew all these people, and really, and we know that. Jesus even pointed that out, that he said, many of you are just here to see the miracles. There in the 1990s, there was a branch of the charismatic movement that was really emphasized by John Wimber. I don't know if you're familiar with him. And he started what they called power evangelism. Power evangelism says this, that people will not listen to the gospel until you demonstrate miraculous things and signs and wonders. Then that's what's going to build their faith to receive the gospel. Now, that's an error. And this is what this guy was writing here. And I thought, okay, you know, I know it's not going to help, but I'm going to put something out there anyways. And so what I just wrote back to him was, I says, first of all, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's your faith does not build by miracles. It can't. And if you think it does, you're mistaken. I have scriptural evidence to prove that it doesn't. I also said the Bible says that an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And so that's not what we're supposed to be doing in the day and age which we live, is seeking for signs. Nor do we say that faith is built from miracles. That's not the purpose of miracles in the first place. And I don't have time to get into that today. But another thing I did is I shared a passage of scripture in Luke 16. And this is why I mentioned this in verse 28. This is the aspect where the rich man went to hell. He was wanting Abraham to send back Lazarus from the dead to reach his brothers, because he didn't want them to come to this place of torment. This is what it says in verse 28. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Very powerful passage there. So if you could raise someone from the dead, you think, wow, then people would believe. The Bible says they wouldn't. They would not believe. If they will not believe what the Bible says, they won't believe whether you do the greatest miracle that you could possibly imagine, which is raising someone from the dead. To me, that would be an amazing miracle. And in fact, the Antichrist is going to provide that for them when he comes. The Bible says he'll do many signs and wonders. He'll deceive people. He'll call fire from heaven. The Bible says that he will have a wound unto death and he'll be restored. He'll actually be like he rose from the grave. And these people will follow him, but they don't follow God because of that. It doesn't build faith in the Word of God. So when we talk about where there is no vision, the people perish, we are talking, but that true vision is a biblical, scriptural vision. It's not something I have because I had a dream. You say, well, I know someone that had a dream. I'm not going to argue with these situations where people have dreams and visions. But what I do know is this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, in sundry times and in divers manners, God spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he hath spoken unto us by his Son. Amen. So Jesus Christ is now giving us the words. When in time past, it used to be in sundry ways, divers manners. That means at different times, in different ways, God would reveal his truth through the prophets to the people. But now in these last times, he doesn't do that anymore. Now he speaks exclusively through his Son. And that makes perfect sense when you begin to understand how the progression or the procession of truth came. From the Father to the Son to the Spirit, from the Spirit to the apostles, from the apostles to the paper, and from the paper to the pulpit or to your lap. Amen? The Word of God, these are the words of Christ. The Old Testament gives you the account of the visions and the different ways that God gave truth to mankind, plus the Scriptures. The New Testament gives you how that God is giving us all these truths by his very Son. And that's why the Bible says in John 15 and 16 that he gave us these truths, that the Holy Spirit will testify of me, he said to his apostles. So he's going to tell you what Jesus has to say. So that's why we look at this as the words of Christ. And by the way, not just the ones in red in your Bible. I don't mind having words in red. It tells me what he said while he was on earth. But basically, Matthew to Revelation are his words through the Spirit to the apostles onto the page. Amen. And that's the words that we have. Now, if somebody's getting a vision today, the only vision that they can truly hold to is one that is given through this book. So when I'm asking for a vision, and this is where we got to be careful of the professional CEO business-like mentality in the church. Let's have a vision for the church. The vision for the church has nothing to do with a business CEO or money success or anything like that. The vision for the church has to do with what the Bible is telling us to do. And getting past ourselves and seeing what God has for our future as laid out in the scripture. That's a scriptural vision. And the Bible says if we don't do that, the people will perish. The people perish. And that word perish is interesting. It means to let loose. And I think about the city, people in the city, and I think of the people that we see. And right now, there's people in my life that they're there, but I want to draw them closer this way. I want the Lord to bring them into fellowship with Himself and with the church. Amen? But if I don't have a vision, a scriptural vision for them, what's going to happen for them, instead of drawing them closer, they are going to slowly fade and be let loose. And we're going to miss our opportunity with these people. And they won't hear the gospel. Let's not think that the lady at the supermarket is always going to be there. It's like the man that I worked with at the hospital the one time when I was doing some construction there. And I thought I had all the time in the world to give him the gospel. And the one weekend I went there, he was gone because he had died. And so what happened? He perished. He was let loose. And I didn't have the right vision for that man. And he perished. And we're in danger of doing that with our own lives. Personally, we can be let loose. We have the danger of that, of doing that with our families, our children. They can fade away. We have a danger of that happening with our community and the people around us. And if we do not keep a true and scriptural vision of all these people, and that's what it says, people perish. And I looked at the word people. The word people just means a congregation of a certain group. So we have a congregation of a certain group here. So I need to have a vision for this congregation, this certain group of people that's in this room today. Or they will fade away. I need to have a vision, a scriptural vision for my family because they're a congregation of a specific group. Amen. And so I need to keep my eyes on the Lord and on the scripture in regards to them because it just doesn't take care of itself. You know, the city just doesn't get saved by itself. Our families just don't get built by themselves. And you know what? Your personal life, you just don't grow by yourself. You have to do something to bring yourself to the place that the Lord wants you to be. It's not automatic. If you were to let loose and say whatever happens, happens, you would become what we would call a backslider. Either we are diligently moving forward or we are lazily sliding backward. But there's never a time where we're actually sitting in one spot. Never a time. Say, well, I've just kind of been here. I'm just kind of happy where I am. Where are you happy? The Bible says right there, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amen. So that means that there's a forward movement, a forward direction that we're going. But there's never a time where you can say, I'm just happy where I am, because you don't even know where you are. And the fact of the matter is you're not today where you were yesterday if you're not following the Lord. You've moved further back. So now am I happy where I am? And then a week down the road, I'm further back. Am I happy where I am? You know, I need to push forward. I need to realize that the only true happiness will be in trusting what the Word of God says for my life and following the Scriptures for our life. Amen. That's the purpose of our vision, our theme for this year. I want to apply that vision, this theme, to all the areas of our life. And I think the first one that we really need to contemplate today is our personal lives. And there's a scripture here, 2 Peter, and I just want to touch on a couple of things here from this passage. And I'm going to start reading verse number 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, because the first verse is already talking about faith. We have exceeding great and precious promises. By these, the Bible says, you actually get everything you need for life, to enjoy life and have abundant life. And also, the Bible says that we can be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world. So we don't need to be in bondage to the corruption of this world and to the lust of the flesh. If we give ourselves to believing what the Bible says, we can escape it, because as we give ourselves to the scriptures, we become partaker of his nature. His nature helps us get past the lust of the flesh. Amen. Otherwise, we'd just be doing wrong all the time. But the Lord helps us this way. Now it goes on to say, it says, beside this, giving all diligence. So notice that it's not just, oh, just let it happen. Giving all diligence. We have to become diligent about this process here. This is not something you just wait to happen. This is something we decide to make happen as believers. Giving all diligence, it says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice what it says next. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The Bible says if I'm not incorporating these seven additions to my faith, that I'm actually blind and I'm not seeing properly with the right vision towards the future for my family, for myself, for my church, for my community. I have to have these seven attributes in my life. Amen. And so I thought, what greater place to start? Let's look at the seven things. What seven things do we need to add to faith? So I read my Bible. I believe what the Bible says. So you have faith. I make steps by faith. I trust God. I trust His promises with salvation. Let's add to your faith. Let's bring it to a higher level so that our vision clears up. Because that word blind means something is obscuring your sight. And we need these seven things in our life. Number one. Virtue is moral excellency, perfection, goodness of action. Choose an excellent path for your life. Daniel, the Bible says, had an excellent spirit about him. The word excellent comes from the word excel. Now, do we want to excel past where we are right now? Or are we kind of like, I'm happy where I am? Any Christian that is happy where they are has become blind. And you do not see afar off. See, when we start seeing afar off, we begin to understand that there are things that are going to, that my family needs to fight the battle. There are things that the church needs to fight the battle. There are things I need to do to reach souls in this city. But if I don't see afar off, the people perish. Because there's no vision. There's no vision. Our families perish because I have no vision. And so we as believers can become blind. And so we cannot see afar off. So virtue, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, it says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as he has received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. So you would abound more and more, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. The Lord is telling us that we need to deal with this aspect of sanctification in our life. Fornication, sinful things, sexual things, ungodly thoughts, dirty thoughts. dirty jokes on the job, whatever it is, the whole gamut of it. We have got to get past and start developing an excellent, excellent behavior, an excellent spirit, an excellent attitude. Amen. Live for purity in heart, purity in our minds. We have to do that on purpose. And the Bible says we should do that with all diligence. And the word diligence means to speed or urge or hasten or press forward. It's not something to lay back with. It's something we have to push forward with. Amen. We have to be serious about this. We cannot keep living the same kind of life. We have to add to our faith virtue. And then it also says knowledge, clear and exact knowledge. This is knowledge and how to handle your situations of life properly. How many times have we gotten into something and our reaction is completely foolish? We lose our temper, we kick the dog, we kick the whatever, you know, we act badly, we take it out on our husband and wife, we take it out on the kids. Folks, that is not the way, that is not the knowledge of God. We have got to study the scriptures as to how we need to face the battles of life, how we handle the pressures that we meet every day of our life. We've got to know how to do that. That's how we're going to move forward in excellence. That's how we're going to continue to grow. That's how we're going to have a right vision towards the future and towards our families. But anybody who's going around kicking the dog in their home is blind. And many times the people, the things that you're doing in your own spirit to others, and the, like I said in the Sunday school, like the Bible says, the foolish woman plucketh down the house with her own hand. Why? We're doing things to destroy our own homes. When through knowledge and understanding of the scriptures, we could know how to handle these situations, we don't need to react. How do you handle when you're innocent and you're being hurt? How do you handle people on the job when they say things to you or they're out for your job or this, that, or the other? How is your mindset in regards to that? What is the knowledge? What is my idea of what I have and what I possess in my life? You know, the Bible says, I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Contentment doesn't come because I just choose. Contentment comes through learning. Learning the truth. Learning the principles of the Bible. Learning that God brings you through different seasons at different times. Sometimes He wants you to be poor. And the worst thing you can do is cry about being rich. It's during a time where He wants you poor. We're blind. Amen. But there's a time He wants you to have more, you know, although I don't mind those times, you know, but you still have to learn. You have to learn to abound. You have to learn to be abased. It's all about gathering the knowledge of the scripture and how to handle the different situations of life. And that'll keep you from losing your temper. It'll keep you from hurting people around you. You don't need to react and act foolishly over every pressure that comes to your life. Because those pressures are actuated from the outside in through the devil. He loves to put pressure on God's people because He wants you to crack and He wants you to listen to the pressure rather than to the spirit inside. He's trying to cause rebellion. And when we freak out, and when we handle things in a wrong way, we are actually rebelling against the spirit inside of us. And that's Satan's whole tactic in putting pressure on your life. And we become emotionally run people. Our emotions are our leaders. And that cannot be. We cannot have a home. We are blind. And we do not see what's happening to our children. We do not see what's happening to our churches. So virtue, knowledge. Number three, temperance. This is self-control. In 2 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. That means there's athletes out there that'll get up at 4 in the morning, and they'll run, and they'll do their regimen, and they'll do that every day. And then you look at our lives as believers, and we can't discipline ourselves to even read our Bibles. That we say is the answer to all of our problems. And we are not reading it. We're not seeking the Lord. Yet we'll go out there and play hockey for 5 hours. They do it for a crown that's corruptible, the Bible says. For a corruptible crown. But we, and incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. The Apostle Paul knew that if his body got in control of his life, he would no longer be a preacher of the gospel. And folks, we are far too many times letting our bodies control our life. The body, it says in this passage, is to be brought into subjection. Your body is your slave, it's not the master. But many times, because of outward pressure, we allow the body to dictate how close we are to God, how much we read our Bible, what we do for our families, so on and so on. We are blind, and we do not see afar off. And there is no vision, the people perish. Amen. We got to bring our body into subjection. I used to tell our folks there in Kenora, I said, sometimes you got to get your boys, go make them dig a hole in the backyard, and then go fill it in again. Just so they can learn to tell their body to do something instead of their body telling them to do something. You know what it is sometimes? You ask them to do a chore. You know what they're saying? Oh, all of a sudden, oh, my back hurts all of a sudden. The body is now the master. I say, it doesn't matter if your back hurts, because I'm teaching you to put that body into subjection. Amen. And so you got to make a choice as a steward in your soul, as the manager of this property. You have to put it in its place. You have to put it into subjection, and let the Spirit, who is the boss, the master, that's influenced through the Word of God, be the one that tells the soul, this is what we're doing. Amen. Never let the situations dictate. Bring yourself into self-control where the Spirit of God is leading you in your life. Amen. That's what it's talking about. Temperance. Number four is patience. This is the persevere. Remain under, bearing up under patience, endurance as to things or circumstances. And James 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, as a trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So in order for me to have patience do a work, I need to have some knowledge here. There's a lot of doctrine in that verse. I need to study that. It's telling me that I am supposed to be joyous when I fall into a test of life. Why? Knowing this, that when my faith is becoming tried, that my patience is being developed. That means my ability to remain under the load. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. So as these trials work in my life, I actually become purified and become more of what God wants me to be. That's allowing patience. Amen. So let it happen. So that means if I don't react well to pressures and temptations in my life, I'll never get past this point. Patience has to be developed. I've had somebody, oh, I'm not a patient person. And what they do is they equate the aspect of not being patient to who they are in their personality. That's a serious mistake. Because if you equate anything to your personality, you're saying it can't change. That's why a lot of people say, oh, I can't go tell people about Jesus. That's just not me. So now what they're doing is they're equating something that God said everybody's supposed to do to a personality trait, which is not you. Well, if it's not you, then I guess you can't do it, you know. And so you got to be very careful that we don't mix personality and character. Amen. You are a specific person that God has created you to be, and you are very unique and special in what God made you to be. But all the things that God said you could do, you can do. And you can do them well. But we kind of use it as an excuse not to do it when we incorporate it into our personality. Oh, this is just who I am. You've just changed who you are. That's a problem with God. You are never supposed to define God yourself. He defines himself to you. And you never define yourself to God, because he will define you to you. He will tell you who you are. The moment that you begin to be the one that defines who you are, remember, Satan has a very close relationship with your flesh. And he introduces ideas. So if you're the one saying, this is who I am, and telling God, well, God, I would go do that, but that's not who I am. Something got in here somewhere. But I would say, Lord, you tell me who I am, and whoever I am, that's who I am. That's why we go to the book of Ephesians and we learn who we are in Christ. Amen. Number 5, godliness. This means to be devout, devotion, allowing God to influence our lives. I always say to be godly is to allow God's influence in your life. Where it says, blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You never follow someone's counsel that is not allowing God to influence their life. You never follow that counsel because you will not follow. You will not find counsel that is influenced by God. It's ungodly. Ungodly means no God. And so if I'm living a godly life, that means that my life is being influenced by God in all my areas of life. So I add that to my faith. And then number 6, brotherly kindness. Philippians 2:4, let not every man look on his own things, but every man on the things of others. So now we need to look at other people around us and say, hey, I want to be kind to you. Folks, sometimes we use truth as an excuse to be mean to people. I always say there's truth, but then there's also truth concerning the truth. And truth concerning the truth is how I handle it. It's just as important how I handle the truth as the truth itself. Amen? And just because I have the truth doesn't mean I've got blanket permission to handle it every way I want. In fact, the scriptures are very clear in how we're supposed to handle the truth. Walk in love. Speak the truth in love. Amen? Throughout the scriptures, he's telling us how to handle the truth with people. And I think that's very important. That's a part of kindness. You say, well, that guy, he's not doing things the way I like it. You can still be kind. That person is in sin. You can still be kind. It's never a time not to be kind just because someone's doing wrong. Like somehow you're the perfect example of righteousness. You're going to them in kindness because you know that could very easily be you. And that influences the way you approach them. Knowing this is me. I always say this. How many of you would respond to someone coming to you with a harsh attitude about your life? You know what you would do? You're out of here, buddy. Why would they be any different towards you? I look at the same way when I go door knocking. When I go door knocking, you know what I think? What I would do if I was on the other side of the door. You're kind. You're patient. You're saying, hey, we're here. We just want to give this to you. You don't feel you got the right to intrude on someone's castle. Amen. That's the way I look at it. Because I know what I feel like when people come to my door. Amen. And so we need to be kind to others. And that's how kindness begins. We don't act like we're entitled. I'm entitled. You're not. Brotherly kindness in number 7 is charity. Charity is the love or affectionate regard. It's really a sacrifice for loving people. And the Bible says, let all things be done with charity. And so basically, charity, the Bible says, is the bond of perfectness. It's the bond. It's what holds everything else together. That means if I am not willing to sacrifice for other people, everything is going to fall apart. This is what I need to add to faith. That means if I'm trying to help somebody and I don't want to sacrifice for them, like God sacrificed for me, then I better not start because it's not going to end well. We have to give of ourselves. We have to sacrifice for others. And the Bible says, if these 7 things are in you, and it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you neither will be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing to learn about Jesus, but that knowledge of Christ doesn't help you a bit unless you're applying these things to your life. You can brag, I know this about God. I can explain to you the incarnation. I can talk about the resurrection. I can talk about substitution. I can talk about all these doctrinal things. But they are no use to me unless I apply these characteristics to my life. Then I can become fruitful in that knowledge. Amen? Then I begin to see. And it says, if you lack these things, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And also he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That means you've forgotten how God has brought you from the pit to where you're at. Amen. I've seen that happen in believers. You know, the Lord has been so patient with you for years and years. You know, as soon as we get something in us, we go, hey, you ought to do. How long did the Lord give you to get to that place? You're missing these seven things. Amen. And that's why we can't see them. We can't see these people. Can't see how we got to reach them. And so that's how we get personal growth. That's how we grow. That's how we reach people. That's how we're going to keep people from perishing. Personally, we need to add these seven things to our life. And I would encourage you, go home, read through these and say, Lord, help me to apply these. Add these to my faith in life so I can become fruitful and I'll be able to see with a proper vision my family, my church, everybody around me. Amen. And God will bless. All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for each one that has come out this morning. I just pray, Lord, you just be with us as we consider this passage, as we consider how we can have a greater vision for ourselves, for our families, for our church, for our community. And Lord, that we'd be able to save some people, save our families. Oh, Lord, let us not become complacent. Let us not become blind to what we need to do. I pray, Lord, you'd wake us up and we'd be able to grow and just personally be used by you as we focus on the scriptures, as we focus on the knowledge of you and have a proper vision of who you are. I just pray you bless the decision that was made this morning. And Lord, just be with each one of us this afternoon. I know, Lord, there are some here that are not feeling well today. I just pray for them, Lord. I pray you just touch their bodies, bring them to health. And Lord, those that are not here because of sickness, I pray you just be with them as well. And Lord, just draw real close today and keep us safe out there as the weather is very cold. And I just thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.